I've entitled this morning, The Skull and Crossbones. You know, usually when we think of that, most widely associated, the thing that we think of when we think of skull and crossbones would be that of a pirate flag. And sometimes referred to the Jolly Roger. Recently we visited our son and his family. Now they've been assigned to the Air Force in Tampa. While we were there, Robbie took us on a tour of the Raymond James football stadium. They give tours all the time, and they'll take you all around the stadium on an off day. And if you know the team at all, they've got a pirate ship at the end of their home, into the home field there. So, and then they shoot off cannons when, if they score a touchdown or something like that. But, you know, they have a symbol or form of the Jolly Roger, we would say, because theirs is a kind of a head of a buccaneer with cross swords there. So, but today I want to not consider those as much as I want to consider the skull and crossbones. Yes, it was a symbol of death, as maybe the pirates would use it there. But to us, it's more of a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of love. It's a symbol of a life sacrificially given. After the mock trials that went on that night, went on unlawfully through the night, Jesus was taken to Pilate. And there he's brought outside and put on display. The enraged crowd called for his crucifixion. The Romans had perfected this art of not just death, but of maximum pain, agony, and humiliation. The most dreadful thing ever devised in the mind of man. This form of death was saved for the worst of the criminals, and it was used as a deterrent for many. But to Christ, he was drawn to it. He even told his followers at one time, as he entered the city, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. As he was led outside the city to a place called Golgotha, Matthew would refer to that in his writings. He would say it means the place of the skull. Some say there was a rock formation there that looked like that of a skull, and others would believe that it was an area often used for that of crucifixion, and death and decay were everywhere around. Possibly even skulls of past victims of the crucifixion were visible, but our Savior, instead of avoiding it, knew this was the place he was drawn to. Luke, in his account, would also refer to it as the place of the skull. During his trial, they would put on his head a crown of thorns. Kind of looking up some of that, there was a very common bush, it seems to be, in that area that was easily formed but had long spines on it, or it was easily twisted, but it had long thorns and spines. And likely, as they placed it upon our Savior, went deep into his skull. While on the cross, the victims could last for days. That was the part of the cruelty of the death. In the case of Jesus, we read the account in the book of John of the crossbones of Jesus. Let's look at, if you're reading along with me, I'm looking at John 19, 31 through 37. Very familiar to us. It says, "But on the day, on preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross of, on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, that the Jews asked Pilate that the legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and at the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, did not break his legs. And one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who had seen as testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that he may that you may believe. For these things that were done in the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They shall look on him who they pierced." We gather around the table today. In a sense, we remember the skull and crossbones that were on the cruel cross, the Roman cross. Even though the Romans and religious leaders of the day thought they were putting an end to this matter of Jesus, little did they realize that that everything was playing out exactly as the Godhead had planned. The skull and crossbones of Jesus is not just a symbol to be feared and avoided at all cost, as it would be in that of a pirate's case or something. For us, it's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of compassion and ultimate victory to be remembered. These simple emblems that we share in today help us draw our minds back to Golgotha, but also to that empty tomb 3 days later when death was defeated. And the good news is it's not to be avoided, but something that should be foremost in our minds, the skull and crossbones of our Savior. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you today for this opportunity that we have to remember this free and willing sacrifice that was given. And even as it would be said in the days of Joseph there, that what they meant for evil, God meant it for good. As we partake and as we prepare to take of these emblems today, where the fruit of the vine represents your blood so freely given on our behalf, and the bread representing your body that was torn apart and beaten. But as we've read, not one of your bones was broken. And as we partake of these emblems today, we would ask that we would be drawn closer to you, that our lives be one a reflection of your love and compassion as we share this message with others. And we're so thankful for this sacrifice. For your Son's name we pray.